Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, would you read together with me the title of our sermon, Our Father, the Vine Dresser, based on our gospel reading where Jesus says in John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I invite and I encourage you to take your worship folder and find on that the sermon outline. Follow along the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Our Father, the Vine Dresser. Here Jesus refers to his Father by a very unique title, a vine dresser. Now, some Bible translations take this old title because hardly any of us use the word vine dresser anymore. And some Bible translations use a title more common to our years. Our Father is the gardener. But the picture is the same of a person who lovingly and tenderly cares for plants that they may grow and they may flourish. And this reminds me of a very patient and loving and tender and hardworking gardener none of you have ever had the privilege of meeting, my dear grandfather. Grandpa gave much love and patience and care and work to the huge, I mean huge, vegetable garden in our home and the flowers and the berry gardens on our old dairy farm in eastern Washington State. He spent hours weeding and hoeing and fertilizing and pruning and cleaning. He spent hours on these tasks daily. After the morning cows were milked and before the evening milking time came again, it was not unusual for my dear grandpa to spend 7 hours in these gardens. Now, as a little boy, I used to so-called work alongside of him, but I couldn't keep up. And I quickly, as a little boy, lost interest. Oh, I'd pull a few weeds. I'd do a little watering. But after a while, I would probably eat more cherry tomatoes and eat more raspberries than I ever took into the house to give to Grandma. And soon I began to say things like, oh, Grandpa, my back is tired. Oh, Grandpa, I'm bored. Oh, Grandpa, I want to go play. I was just too young and immature to see the goal of such work until we went in the house, got cleaned up, and sat at the table where Grandma prepared her marvelous meals made from our homegrown fruits and vegetables. I can still taste these meals some 50 years later. And then Grandpa would get everybody around the table laughing as he bragged how much work I had done in the garden, when really he had done it all by himself. And why did he do this work? Because Grandpa loved the garden. He took great pleasure in caring for the life that that garden brought forth. And his joy in life was to see the plants and the vines grow products, grow treasures that could be given away to family members and friends, and especially hungry strangers. What an excellent picture of the care of our Heavenly Father for us, His garden, His plants. Jesus says in John 15, I am the true vine. You are the branches, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus tells us that God's desire for us is to grow and to flourish and to bear fruit, to give Him praise and to care for others. But this text from John 15 means an awful lot to me personally. Because some 36 years ago, on August 13th, 1979, this gospel reading was the text the pastor preached from for the service of my ordination when I became a pastor for the first time and soon left home to serve my first congregation in Dayton, Ohio. Now, in this text, Jesus and his disciples had just left the upper room. You remember that upper room, don't you? where Jesus shared the Passover meal with his disciples, and the next day he went to the cross. But on that holy night, Jesus transformed the Passover meal into Holy Communion. And now Jesus and his disciples, after this Lord's Supper, were walking through the Kidron Valley on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. At that time of the year, the grapevines were in full bloom. Some were being harvested. One could not walk through the Kidron Valley on the way to Gethsemane without stepping around grapevines and plants. Grapevines were everywhere. In the midst of this walk, our dear Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine." He's saying that he is the one true, authentic, lasting, eternal vine. Now the vine, for the branches, was their very life source. The vine was the place the vine dresser grafted branches in to give them new life and to help them grow. My question for you this morning is this, because this is not just an agricultural lesson today. Here's my question for you. What are your life sources? What are you grafting yourself into? Where do you go today for real meaning, for lasting hope, for authentic life? Jesus says, "I am the true vine." All other substitutes this life offers will only let you down. Let's take a moment this morning to name in the quiet of our own hearts the false vines that we cling to. What are they? How about things like our earthly possessions and finances? The truth is, they are here today and gone tomorrow. How about our past successes and our past achievements? But the motto of our life today is, okay, but what have you done for me lately? How about our good looks, our good health, our youthful vitality? Well, the saying is true. Time waits for no man. Our good deeds, our good lives. But Holy Scripture is very true when it says in the prophet Isaiah, and I quote, "All our righteous deeds are like filthy rags." None of these earthly vines are lasting and true. But the same prophet Isaiah, in chapter 53, verse 2, says these words about the true vine. Isaiah says, "He came up from dry ground. He grew up before the Lord as a tender plant." And this same tender plant, this same precious vine, St. Matthew tells us, was beloved of his Father in heaven, his perfect Son sent to us to be our Savior. And of Jesus, the true vine, the Father said, and I quote, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It is Jesus, the true vine, that our Father, the vine dresser, has sent to us, that from him to us might flow real life, abundant life, and finally, eternal life. And after Jesus told his disciples, "I am the true vine," then he said these important words, "And my Father is the vine dresser." The vine dresser does two basic things for grapevines. First, Jesus says in John 15, 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." The Greek verb "take away" has the original meaning of lifting up. And this is exactly what vine dressers do for grapevines. You see, grapes, if you've ever seen grapes grow, grapes are not like pumpkins and squash. Pumpkins and squash develop well by lying on the ground. But great branches must be lifted up and freed from the ground, lifted up on fences and wires and ropes, lifted up to be closer to the sun and closer to warmth. Now, this being true, when Jesus says, "Our Father, the vine dresser, lifts us up," here's what he means. Our Father lifts us up, each one of us, closer to himself, that we might know his lifting love, that we might see his loving face, that we might grow in the sunshine of his care. And he lifts us up, take note, that we can be ready for the second thing a vine dresser does. Jesus tells us in verse 2 the next step. And the vine dresser, quote, prunes the branch that it might bear more fruit. In the Greek language, this word prune means to cleanse, to clean up. Normally, this pruning or cleaning means cleansing anything harmful to the plant, like insects or weeds or moss. But it also can mean removing anything from the plant that gets in the way of a fruitful harvest, even things like too many leaves, too much foliage, too many small grapes, too many useless branches. As the text says, for this reason, quote, so that every branch that does bear fruit might bear more fruit. What does this mean for us today? This being true, we learn here that our Heavenly Father is at work in our lives, not just lifting us up, he does that, but he's also at work in our lives pruning us, removing those things from us that are harmful to us. Now, this could mean things like bad habits, improper priorities, unhealthy relationships, but it could also mean good things like excess small grapes, like too many personal and family activities, too many things that get in the way of Sunday worship or personal prayer time. Any excess foliage or leaves or grapes or relationships that in any way weaken our connection to Jesus the vine. And because he loves us and wants us to be strong and fruitful branches, the text says, Jesus says, our Father prunes us. The pruning of our Heavenly Father may be uncomfortable. It may sometimes even cause us some pain. And we may not understand why he does it at first. But it is always for our well-being. And I think this next story will illustrate this truth. Years ago, a family immigrated from Europe to Canada after their homeland had been devastated in World War II. And after arriving in eastern Canada by ship, they were then put upon a train to bring them to the prairies and farms of Saskatchewan, where they were to be settled. The 10 tired travelers were squeezed into only 2 seats, mother and father and 8 children from 4 months to 12 years. And when the train conductor saw their discomfort, he tried to tell the father something, but he couldn't communicate to him. So finally, he just picked up the baby and started walking out of the crowded immigrant car. The entire family chased after him, yelling and screaming in a language nobody could understand. But he paid no attention to them till he went through 2 more crowded immigrant train cars into a car that was almost empty. And then he stopped. He gave the baby back to the mother and motioned for the family to sit where there was plenty of room. Then they understood his actions. Dear friends, we may not immediately understand the reason for our Heavenly Father's pruning in our lives when we're in the middle of it. But we can be assured that later we will see his pruning always comes out of his love and for our well-being. As we've seen in the text, Our Father, the vine dresser, both lifts us up and cleanses us or prunes us. Spiritually speaking, we might say, this is the work of the law and the gospel. The law of God shows us our sin, shows us our rebellion and our faithfulness, shows us our need for pruning and cleansing and forgiveness. The law of God draws us to the cross of our Savior. The holy law of God convicts us of our need to confess our sins and repent. And this is why every Sunday we begin our service of worship with the confession and absolution. Yet not just on Sunday, but every day of our lives is a good day for us to submit to the firm but loving hand of our God, the vine dresser, who prunes us through the forgiveness of our sins. You see, he wants to rid us of anything that's harmful to us. And so we bow before him like a thankful branch, appreciating the vine dresser would cleanse us and prune us and make us healthy. Pruning may hurt, but he hurts us so that he can really heal us. But pruning isn't all that he does, remember? Jesus says the vine dresser also lifts up the branches. God lifts us up. And this is the work of the Holy Gospel, the great good news that God, for Jesus' sake, forgives our sins, that our Savior, the true vine, allowed himself to be nailed on Calvary's cross to pay for your sins, to pay for mine, to rise from death, to give to all who trust in him victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the devil. And now, because of Jesus, we branches can abide in him. But please take note of this next important part of the sermon. Our abiding as branches in Jesus the vine is not possible because of our striving and our efforts. Our abiding in Jesus is not possible because of our good deeds, our noble lives, the sweet things that we do. The branch cannot connect itself to the vine. No, the vine is the life source for the branch. The branch depends on the vine. Jesus, the true vine, told us this in John 15:5. Listen to what he said. I am the true vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. He told us earlier in John 14, verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And in 14:23, if anyone loves me, my Father will love him, and we will come, and we will make our abode with him. Did you catch it? Jesus has died for our sins. He has risen for us. But that's not all that he does. Jesus, the true vine, promises to live in us, to abide in us, to keep us connected to him as the true vine. And as the true vine, he pours his lifeblood into us to strengthen us and keep us close to God, our Heavenly Father. He supplies the strength. He supplies the faith. He supplies the joy. His abiding life in us gives us all that we need to remain fruitful. He is the true vine that connects himself to us. And this is all that he asks. All that he asks of you and me is this, that we not sever our connection to him. As we abide in him, he gives us his life. He makes us brand new. The Bible calls this God giving us, look at this, a brand new beating heart of flesh. Listen to what Ezekiel says. Ezekiel 11:19. God says, I will give them a new heart. I will put a new spirit within them. I will take out of them the heart of stone, and I will give them a heart of flesh. On January 2nd, 1968, a miracle of God occurred. On January 2nd, 1968, Dr. Christian Barnard from South Africa performed the first successful human heart transplant surgery. When the recipient, Mr. Philip Blayberg, recovered, Dr. Barnard carried into Blayberg's room a transparent plastic box. This box contained, believe it or not, Blayberg's old, sick, scarred, discarded heart. Barnard pointed out to him that 90% of his heart was scarred and useless. And then Barnard says these amazing words, and I quote, "Mr. Blayberg, do you know that you are the first man in history to be able to sit and to look at his own tired, dead heart? But now you've been given a brand new heart, and you've been given a brand new life." Today, our Lord Jesus says he wants to give you the same gift. He invites you today to surrender to him your tired, your scarred, even your own dead heart. Come to the foot of his cross and lay before him your old heart. Come here today and every day, because he promises to give us new hearts. He says he promises to abide in us, that his life might flow through us, that his lifeblood and strength might give us strength, that we branches may be grafted to him, the true vine, and have new life and a new heart, not just now, but for life everlasting. That our Father, the vine dresser, might lift us up and prune us so that we may bear fruit for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for being our Father, the vine dresser. In Jesus' name, amen.